Oh, good morning, everybody. All right. So, another Sunday. It's always good to be here. Although this time, rather than listening, I've got a few thoughts to share with you. So, I set out to prepare an entirely different talk than what I ended up with. And this talk I was going to give, it was going to be absolutely fantastic. But we're never going to know what it's going to be like, because I didn't write that talk, I've written this talk. So anyway, today I'd like to jump into Luke chapter 12, and we just want to tie a few thoughts together about the words of Jesus in Luke 12 and why it matters to us. So the key part we want to focus around is verses 22 to 34, and it's this idea of not being anxious. We might say, or worrying about today, but rather to focus on what really matters and look forward to the kingdom of God. And we'll consider the section before and after these words that Jesus spoke as a bit of context for these thoughts, to put them in context. So let's start by setting the scene. In the previous chapter, in Luke 11, we know that Jesus was leaving the house of the Pharisee after a meal that he'd been invited to. And then now in verse 1, I presume Jesus has left that house, and people have gathered in their thousands to see Jesus. And there was so much hustle and bustle as they wanted to get closer that they were even trampling on one another. So what a crowd. So jumping down to verse 13, we read that someone in the crowd told him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus asked him, "Mister, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" This then prompts Jesus to address the crowd in response to the question. "Be careful to guard yourselves against every kind of greed, because a person's life doesn't consist of the amount of possessions he has." And we know this line well, don't we? It's a hot topic with Jesus and also with Paul and many others. So in this instance, Jesus didn't just stop there. He went on to tell a parable in response to this question about the inheritance and the riches. And this leads into our thoughts in a bit. So in verse 16, Jesus tells the following parable. "The land of a certain rich man produced good crops. So the rich man began to think to himself, 'What should I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I will store all my grain and goods in them. Then I will say to myself, you have stored plenty of good things for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God told him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded back from you. Now who will get the things you have accumulated?' That's how it is with the person who stores up treasures for himself rather than with God." And this is a direct response, isn't it, to that man's question about splitting the inheritance. And the meaning of the parable is self-evident, isn't it? Possessions, they can be a bit of a deadly distraction from our God if we let them steal our focus away. So we won't dive deeper into that parable, but now that the scene has been set, I suppose, we have this context for the next section of Jesus' teaching, again to these thousands of people that had gathered in verses 22 to 32. So reading in verse 22, again, Luke 12, 22. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'That's why I'm telling you to stop worrying about your life, what you eat, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Because life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the crows. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even have a storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds?" So thankfully in this country, we don't have to worry too much about what we will be eating or what we're going to wear. But the underlying message is the same, no matter what our worries are. What is it that causes us to worry in life? Maybe it's uncertainty about family. Maybe it's uncertainty about work or school or something we're involved in. Uncertainty about our health, maybe finances, or even over what the future holds for us. So we all worry about something different, don't we? And it changes based on where we are in life. But we all worry to various degrees. So our Lord continues in verse 25. Can any of you add an hour to lengthen your life by worrying? And we can't, can we? Rather, worrying has quite the opposite effect, as Jesus indicates in the next verse. So if you can't do a small thing like that, why worry about other things? We can't extend our life. Time is fleeting, and worry just takes even more time away from us. So we can't focus on other tasks, or even take time to rest and recover, and enjoy a bit of peace. But we need to make plans in life, don't we? But Jesus goes on in the next verse to gently ease us into the next theme for the chapter, verse 27. Consider how the lilies grow. They don't work or spin yarn, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. Now, if that's the way God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and thrown into an oven tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you who have little faith? You who have little faith. So ultimately, the plans we make in life, they're fleeting. And oftentimes, they might not play out the way we expected or intended. But we place our trust in God, don't we? Because he does provide what really matters. And I think that is the path to him through his Son. Let's continue on with that thought in verse 29. So stop concerning yourselves about what you will eat or what you will drink, and stop being distressed, because it is the Gentiles who are concerned about all these things. Surely your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Instead, be concerned about his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you as well. We're blessed beyond measure to have the opportunity to be a part of God's plan, aren't we? And it's only because of our God and his plan that we can put aside the worry, because we know that he is with us and wants us for his own, just like we read in verse 32. Stop being afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So again, if I just tell you, don't worry, don't be anxious, it doesn't really help, does it? But again, with context and perspective, it has a lot more meaning to us of God's plan. So how do we put our focus on God? Well, in verse 33, Christ gives us a bit of an answer. Sell your possessions and give your money to the poor. Make yourselves wallets that don't wear out. A dependable treasure in heaven where no thief can get close and no moth can destroy. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the blessings of this life might not necessarily be a good thing in our lives in Christ. Rather, as we see from this bit of advice from Christ, and as we see in the lives of just about every Bible character we come across, it takes a few hard knocks to develop us so we can see just how much more there is with God and his plan. So Jesus goes on to explain just how much attention we should be paying to the things to come in the next few verses. So again, all in this context of worry, or not worrying. And I'll give you a hint that you don't need, but we should be focusing a lot. We need to pay a whole lot of attention on the kingdom, because as we read earlier, the reason for not worrying is this focus. So the topic of watching and looking comes up over and over and over in the Bible, doesn't it? And for good reason, because it's the cornerstone of our hope, isn't it? This coming kingdom and the plans of our Lord being fulfilled. So verse 35 reads, "You must keep your belts fastened and your lamps burning. Be like people who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding. As soon as he arrives and knocks, they will open the door to him." And we have another similar visual image in the next verse. "How blessed are the servants whom the master finds watching for him when he comes. I tell you with certainty, he himself will put on an apron, make them sit down at the table, and go around and serve them." And again, we have a similar thing in verse 38. How blessed they will be if their master comes in the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them awake. So we've got these three examples in quick succession, all with exactly the same message. Watch, pay attention to what is important. Don't let it be taken underneath from you, as we read in verse 39. But you'd be sure of this: if the homeowner had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his home be broken into. So be ready The Son of Man is coming at a time when you didn't expect him. If we put our focus on God and his promise for the return of Christ, our issues and worries, they don't go away, don't they? How do they? They don't get any less. But if we put them in a bit of context, this point of reference we've been looking at, our worries, they pale in comparison to the blessings of God. So even maybe the passing of someone near and dear to us, it's temporary with God, isn't it? So after these comments from Jesus, the Apostle Peter, he asked a question. Lord, are you telling this parable just for us or for everyone? To which Jesus responds and explains a little bit more about just how important his words were. Let's read the next verse, in verse 42, where Jesus asks a bit of a rhetorical question. Who then is the faithful and careful servant manager whom the master will put in charge of giving all his other servants their share of food at the right time? Now, it goes without saying, doesn't it? Obviously, our Lord Jesus is a faithful servant. But we hope to be faithful servants as well, don't we? Because how blessed is he? How blessed is a servant whom his master finds doing this when he comes? I'll tell you with certainty, he will put him in charge of all his property. But Jesus also gives a warning to go with the hope in the next verse. But if that servant says to himself, my master has taken a long time to come back, and begins to beat the other servants and to eat, drink, and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect him, and at an hour when he doesn't know. Then his master will punish him severely and assign him a place with unfaithful people. We can't ever take our blessings for granted, can we? Every morning that you wake up, it's a good thing, and we can thank God for another new day that we've been blessed with. And it's good to consider his plan for the earth. We've been given so much in knowing God's plan through his Son. But as we read on, much will be required from everyone to whom much has been given, but even more will be demanded from the one to whom much has been entrusted. Our responsibilities, they match our blessings from God, don't they? Yeah, our calling isn't an easy one, is it? These responsibilities that we have in knowing Christ are not small, as we see in the next section from verse 49 onwards. I've come to set the earth on fire, and now I wish it were already ablaze. I do not come to bring peace, but division. From now on, five people in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. So we may very well be at odds with those around us on the issues that really matter in life, even our near and dear family or friends. But Jesus, he encourages us to work through this with the thoughts we read earlier in mind, that our Father is pleased to give us the kingdom if we want it. So I find this section in Luke 12, even with this bit just that we've just read, I find that quite encouraging in a roundabout way, because we do have much to look forward to. There's an excellent section that we read in daily readings in Mark 13, which I believe we did on Thursday. And that reads, but after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken loose. Then people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels and gather his elect, and that's us, from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So our rough theme this morning has been centered around Luke chapter 12 and this idea of not being anxious because we have a hope in God's plan. So let's consider a few tie-in thoughts, I suppose. First one from 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people to be his very own, and to proclaim the wondrous deeds of the one who called you out of the darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. So by grace, We're grafted into the people of God, aren't we? And God demonstrates this time and again. For example, in Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his love for us by the fact that the Messiah died for us while we were still sinners. Now that we've been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from the wrath through him? So, thinking on our topic this morning, when you tell someone not to be anxious or not to worry, it doesn't help, does it? But when it's put in the context of what God has done for us, then it's so much easier to see why we can put our focus aside and instead focus on God's plan and his many blessings. So with these thoughts in mind, let's conclude by considering a few verses plucked out from Hebrews 9. And it's an excellent section on being redeemed through Christ's life and blood. So verse 11, when the Messiah came as a high priest of the good things that have come, he went through the greater and more perfect tent that was not made by human hands and that is not a part of this creation. With his own blood, he went into the most holy place once for all and secured our eternal redemption. The Messiah, in verse 15, the Messiah is a mediator of a new covenant so that those who are called may receive the internal inheritance promised them since a death has occurred that redeems them from the offences committed under the first covenant. Verse 24, for the Messiah did not go into a sanctuary made by human hands, that is merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, to appear now in God's presence as an example to us. Verse 28, the Messiah was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly wait for him. So we thank our God so much for this example and the teaching we've been given through the life of Christ. And in these emblems in front of us, we remember Jesus and the life that he lived and the sacrifice that he made to fulfill a key part of God's plan and show that our faith, it is real and it's alive. Let's keep the coming kingdom in mind and keep walking forwards with Christ's life as our guide.